Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Now, it's a month of Thanksgiving, and this week we'll be thanking God for revelation. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I think hallelujah would have been more if I said provision. But revelation. All of the episodes, that is after Jesus has come, he has died, he's been buried, he has resurrected, he has ascended. So he has finished the major things. All right? Now, after that event, you have the letters written to the churches to show you what you should now prioritize in your life. Praise the Lord. You see, you no longer pray for salvation because salvation has come. So when you read the letters, you realize that anytime Paul was praying for the church, or any prayer was made for the church, it was always about revelation. It was never about physical things, material things. You know why? Because the lesser is included in the greater. It's always about revelation, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, love. These things are not material. But think about it. After Jesus has come and he has gone, God thinks these are the things that you need. What you need right now is not a car. What you need is revelation of who you are, what you have, what he has given you. Are you in this place? Now, if all the prayers we see in the Bible after Jesus had come is revelation, it means that everything you would ever need, he has given it to you already. Now, he just wants you to know. He wants to reveal to you what is yours. Praise the Lord. Let's look at this. Romans 8, verse 32. Pay attention to the word of God. So when we are looking at verses, look, that is the word of God that will minister to you. So you look, Romans 8 verse 32. Let's use KJV, thank you. If you're there, say I'm there. All right, it's on the screen. Are you looking at this stuff? Listen, praise God. Pay attention today, okay? All right, he says, he that spared not his own son. Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Did you get that? Did you see that? He didn't spare his son for you. You know, when students want to gain or apply to a particular university, all right, aside from scholarship, you apply based on your parents' pockets. Do you understand? So if your dad earns, let's say, 100,000 naira a month, and your mom, full-time homekeeper, home builder, all right? If you're applying for university and you have younger ones, you probably will not apply to Covenant University. I'm in this place. You will not even think of going outside the country. Even the ticket for that one can pay your school fees in a federal university. Praise the Lord. And so you'll be careful. But if your dad is a billionaire, when it's time to apply for a school, you will not be careful because you know he will not spare anything. Are you in this place? He will think you deserve a good education. You deserve the best environments. So he will not spare. Now he's saying, God did not spare his son. Meaning, he didn't think, I'm sending Jesus. I hope I don't regret it too. I hope they let him resurrect just in case. He didn't think that. He didn't spare him. He thought you were good enough. Are you seeing that? If you had a son, let's say that billionaire father has a son who has never finished his education. The only way he passed is through bribery. Every time, and not because he's not smart, he's just lazy. Do you understand? Every time they have to pay one lecturer, I'm not supporting it, okay? Pay one lecturer, pay this, in order for him to pass. And now the boy wants to enter school. Before the father thinks of sending him somewhere expensive, he will think very well. Because chances are he will continue payment, praise the Lord. But if he has a super son, who's always number one in class, do you think he will spare to spend all the money he needs to for that boy's education? Are you in this place? He thinks the boy, or he would think the boy is worth it. He would not waste time. It doesn't matter what you think about yourself. God thought you were worth the life of his son. Are you in this place? He thought so. So let's finish this. He says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. gave him up for us all. That's me. He's talking about me. He gave his son for me. Let's continue. He says, how shall he not with him also freely give us what? All things. This is a rhetorical question, meaning that when he gave his son, he gave you freely what? All things. No wonder he says, now what you pray for is revelation, not what he has given you already, because he says he has freely given you all things. All you have to do is to find out what he has given you. Are you in this place? What he has given you. Let me give you an example. Let's say, praise the Lord, you're sitting here and you hear that Lagos State government has appointed 3 people to be in charge of a registration process in your street. All right? And that process, they plan to give the first 50 people that will write down their names 3 million naira each as grant, not a loan. All right? The first 3 people, the first 50 people, and there are 3 people in charge of that list. And in your street, let's say you people are 500, all right? And you heard that, and you want 3 million naira. Most likely, what you do is that by the time you get there to write your name, you see long queue. Trust Lagos. You see queue to the next street. Now, at the back of the queue, everybody will be okay, but when you go to the front, you see war. They'll be fighting. Are you in this place? They'll be fighting because they want to write their name on that list. Why some people will be eyeing the person registering so that they can give him some money. Do you understand? Are you in this place? Now, let's say you decide to go to the front and you start fighting. You start fighting. It's many 5 more names they need. Do you understand? And you start fighting. You have to write your name on that list. Someone tore your shirt. You don't care. You're struggling. You're fighting. You're sweating. Because your name just has to be on that list. In fact, you nearly beat somebody, but you're a child of God. Now you get to the front, and who's the person registering? Your dad. And your name is number 3. After him and his wife. So all along, you were struggling for something that was already yours. Now that you know your name is there, would you struggle anymore? No. You're just going to relax. You're going to be anticipate. Do you understand? You're going to be expectant. Now, that's why he says, we pray for revelation knowledge. So you know that some things you don't have to struggle for. It is yours already. You have a father that can write names, cancel names, move you to the front. We'll see it as we continue today. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. And so this week, you're going to thank God for revelation. Because you see, that thing that you want so much, all you need is for something to be revealed to you to make it easier. Are you in this place? So you're going to thank God for that. All right, so let me show you some examples of some things you thank God for. First, you're going to thank God for the revelation that you know he takes you seriously. And he takes your prayer requests seriously. And he takes your wants, what? Seriously. Are you in this place? Say, God takes me seriously. Let me show you. Go to Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I said, pay attention to the word. All right? So anytime we're about to open a verse, be very happy. Because this is what will change things. Verse 1. If you're there, say, I'm there. Let's look at it together. He says, in the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto them. You know, anytime people think of Daniel, the only thing they remember is lion's den. Okay? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But there are other things that happen in the book. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. He says, in the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. So this is a summary of the chapter. That's what happens in Daniel most times. He gives you the summary of the chapter, then he breaks down the events. Verse 2. He says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. That means he was fasting for 21 days. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 3. There's people that cannot fast till 12 p.m. Why? They have ulcer. Okay. You don't have ulcer. Are you in this place? It's just that There are some things I have to be careful to say because I don't know. If something was stopping me from fasting, are you in this place? Or praying, my mindset would be to kill that thing. Do you understand? Not to start taking myself carefully. You know, I cannot fast. I'm not me, at all. You see that ulcer? If they say I have it, that thing they say I should not do is what I would do. But, you know, we are different levels of faith. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. Verse 3. Okay. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all. So these guys took their own fasting very seriously. Okay. They don't eat food, they don't drink wine, and they don't even bathe or rub cream. Do you understand? Okay. Till 3 whole weeks were what? Fulfilled. Thank God Jesus came. Oh. Thank God for Jesus. Because when he came, he now said, listen, when you're fasting, wash your face. Because I can imagine people were fasting around him, and it was all very nice. All right. Verse 4. He says, and in the 4th and 28th day of the first month, that is 24th of the first month, as I was by the, follow this, all right? Follow this. This is very interesting. As I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, verse 5, then I lifted up my eyes. So, you know, I want you to get a picture. He was by the river. Then he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, a certain man clothed in linen. So he saw a man, all right? In linen, whose loins were gathered with fine gold of Ufaz. His body also was like the burial, and his face as the appearance of lightning. And his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, it was shining. And the voice of his words like the voice of a what? Multitude. Can you reduce this font so this can stop? I know the book of Daniel, the verses are very long. Look into your Bible. Let's leave Philip and Stevie. Daniel 10. Verse 6, because I don't want interruption. I want you to get this. Praise the Lord. Verse 6, it says, his body was like the burial, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a what? Multitude. Did you get the picture? So when he says, Daniel, you know, you'd say Daniel, and it's once. For him, it's Daniel. Come. Run. Now that's very freaky, right? Very, very spooky. All right, verse 7. Imagine you saw that in your room. After church, you go back to your room and you see a man and he says, Ladevi. All right. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so they fled to hide themselves. That means he came with other people in this place. But he was the only person who saw the angels. But the rest, they became afraid. They started shaking. They didn't get what was happening, so they ran. They are not very loyal. Verse 8. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. Do you understand? Once he saw the man, he became weak. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Verse 9. Yet I heard the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Meaning he fainted. Do you understand? He saw the angel and he just passed out. All right. Verse 10. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palm of my hand. Do you understand? So he was like this on the floor. Do you get? Verse 11. And he said unto me, oh, Daniel. Now, I want you to get this. This is where I'm going to. Daniel had a request. And he decided to fast for 21 days. All right? So that I can get the answer of that request. Now, on the 24th day of the month, he saw a vision of an angel who actually came to answer his requests. So it took 21 days. Now look at this, verse 11. The angel is talking to Daniel now. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. You see, Daniel was so special to God. He needed answers, and God sent an angel to him. Look at this. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling, verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Here's the point. He said Daniel was greatly beloved, not by the angels, because angels can't love anybody, do you understand? But by God. They knew, all of heaven knew God took Daniel seriously. And he's saying something. He's saying immediately Daniel set his heart. He had not even said anything yet. Are you in this place? Meaning he just thought. At times before you pray, you think how you're going to pray. Are you in this place? At times something is happening, then you think, you know what? I'm going to spend some time to pray. He's saying that point where he decided he wanted to pray, God heard him and did something immediately. Now what happened was this angel was arrested by evil demons. But that's not the point. The point is, Daniel was so special to God that immediately he set his mind for something, God was ready to give it to him. The Bible says that God is able to do exceeding, abundantly, above all that you can do what? Ask or what? Think. So immediately it comes to your mind, he's ready to give it to you. The angel called Daniel greatly beloved. Go to Ephesians 1 verse 6. Ephesians 1 verse 6. He's talking about us now. He says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the world, beloved. So it's no longer Daniel, greatly beloved. We are now accepted in the beloved. So you are God's beloved son. You're God's beloved daughter. I said, it takes you seriously. You see that thing that you're concerned about, once you set your mind to ask him, immediately something is happening. That's what he's saying. Let me show you something. Go to John 16. John 16, verse 16. John 16. Go to verse 26. So, revelation. God takes you seriously. He takes you seriously. I want to show you. This is from Jesus himself. Let's read it together, because praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's read it together. I want to go. Stop. Which day is he talking about? Today. Let's go again. Want to go. At that day, you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. So he's saying that day, I'm not telling you I will ask God for you. Are you in this place? And that's why we said over and over, people that pray to Jesus, to pray to God, or pray to Mary, to pray. You know, people like due process so much. Jesus is saying he will not do it. This is one thing Jesus said, if you ask, he will not do. He's not going to pray to the Father for you. Are you in this place? So don't waste your time. Don't say, oh Lord Jesus, please help me beg God. It's not going to happen. Verse 27. Let's read together. I want to go. For the Father himself loveth you. Stop. Are you seeing that? He's saying, God wants to hear your own voice. Do you get that? He said, look, I'm not going to pray to my Father for you. No, 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 no. The Father loves you. He wants to hear you. Do you understand? He wants you to say the way it is doing you. That's what he's saying. He said, for the Father himself loveth you because you have loved me and I've believed that I came out from God. That means you believe Jesus is the Son of God. God thinks you're special. He wants you to talk to him. Are you in this place? He takes you that seriously. He doesn't want to hear your request from Jesus. No, he wants to hear it from you. So know this week. God takes you seriously. At times I try to remind people that, you know, people say, you know, I was expecting this, it didn't happen. I always try to remind you that God is aware. Know that. And you're important to him. Are you in this place? Yes. So be conscious of that. This week, you're thanking God because you know he takes you seriously. He takes your desires seriously. He takes your wants seriously. Praise the Lord. He takes your expectations, what? Seriously. Another one. You're going to thank God because of the revelation that you are protected. Are you in this place? You are protected. Oh, praise the Lord. 2 Kings 6. 2 Kings 6. verse 8. I just want us to look at it together. All right? So look, listen, when you come to church, you're coming to look at your Bible. So this is not strange. Okay, but because of time, this is what happened. The king of Syria, you know, then in those days, they were always fighting. Are you in this place? They were always fighting. There was no United Nations. So they were always fighting. So if, let's say, in Nigeria, we want food, there's no food in the country anymore. Instead of looking for ways to solve the food crisis within Nigeria, then, of course, there was no Nigerian. I'm just giving an example. The president will look to conquer Ghana. Now, when he conquers Ghana, they would have more space, more food, more slaves. Praise the Lord. I'm just trying to tell you why they were always fighting. All right? Okay, let's read this. 8. It says, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. So the king was fighting with Israel, so he called his generals and they were planning the battle. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you in this place? Verse 9. And the man of God, that's Elisha, sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. So the king of Syria, in another country, would plan battle against Israel. But Elisha, somewhere else, would tell the king of Israel, this is where he should not pass, because he's a man of God. All right, verse 10. And the king of Israel sent to the place the man of God told him and warned him off, and saved himself there, not once, not twice. So this didn't happen just once or twice. Every time the king of Syria planned, okay, we are going to attack them through the left, the king of Israel will not follow the left. Are you in this place? So it was as someone, okay, look at this, 11. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was so troubled for this thing. He was concerned. Because, you know, there are some general plans that if the enemy knows about it, you know it's general. But when it is secret, but the way Israel were behaving, as though they were there when he's planning it. Look at it. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was so troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? So he thought somebody was betraying them. Are you in this place? Because everything he was planning there, the king of Israel knew. So he said, no, there is someone here that is a traitor. Verse 12. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, tell the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Do you understand? He's trying to make it very serious. He's saying the things you say in your bedroom, that man Elisha would expose you. All right? But in other words, he's saying this thing is spiritual. It's not a physical thing. All right? There's someone that is doing this. Verse 13. So the king is answering. He said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. So now he wanted to deal with it. Like, you know, this is so ridiculous. Do you get it? It's so ridiculous. Because if it is true that whatever he says in his bedroom, Elisha hears, that means he has heard this one already. But he's so angry, he's not thinking anymore. He says, go and spy so that I can send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. Verse 14. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night. So you see, this is a special mission. They want to catch this man. Praise the Lord. And they came by night and compassed the city about. So there is no way he can escape. Oh, time and time again, people always think they can trap the children of God. But it is impossible. It is impossible. I'm just thinking how Samson, the Bible says they locked the gate of the city so that he would not go. The man was not even bothered. He woke up from sleep, went, and he lifted the gates and the pillars. Do you understand? He didn't push the gates open. He lifted the gate and the pillars, then he climbed up a mountain and dropped it there. You can't trap a child of God. I remember another very popular one. After killing him, burying him, they put stone to block, they sealed the tomb. Not just that, they asked for security to guard the tomb. The Bible says, he that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. You know, people are so full of themselves. They use human beings to secure the, as though God will see the human being. Say, no, no, there's police there. Let's leave them. When he was ready, are you in this place? The Bible says there was an earthquake only in that tomb. Not over Israel, just that tomb. The Bible says when the angel descended, he didn't even talk to the security officers. They fainted. And he did what? Rolled the stone away. Less than 1 minute. Now look at this king. He sent horses, chariots, and a great host. And they came by what? Night. That means surprise attack. And compassed the city about. And when the Sabbath, so now it's in the morning. They are all around the city. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. Imagine this. You're the servant and you wake up to open the window and to clean your eyes. And as you open your eyes very well, you see army, horse. It's so shocking. So he shouted, "Alas, my master, how shall we do? Because he's seen so many and they were not expecting it. Are you in this place?" I said, this week, you're thanking God because of the revelation that you are protected. Irrespective of the sudden surprise, the sudden happenings, you are protected. Verse 16. Elisha answered, "Fear not." The servant came to him and said, "Master, what shall we do? How shall we do?" He says, how shall we escape? Do you understand? How would we do it? Elisha got up and said, "Listen, fear not." He says, "For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Remember, the king of Syria sent a great host. Elisha looked at everybody and said, "Nah, the people with us are more than this. They are more than this." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes." You see, he could not see it by observation. So Elisha prayed that this man would have revelation. He said, "Open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full. No space. Meaning that while the king, I told you, God takes you seriously. While the king was planning and counting how many would we send, God had deployed his own already. Full, no space. He says, and the mountain was full of horses and chariots of what? Fire. They didn't come to play. Those ones had horse, chariots, this one, fire. Round about who? No, not the city. Those guys compassed the city, but it was Elisha they were looking for. God knew. So, all of the horses and the chariots of fire were round about Elisha like this. In other words, try me. Do you understand? Try me. Now, the good part is, we have more than angels, horses, chariots of fire. There's a popular verse we always quote. It says, go there, Hebrews 13, verse 5. I read it. Just check. It says, let your conversation be without conversions. Do you remember this verse? Are you in this place? It says, and be content with such things as you have. For he had said, I will never leave thee, nor what? Forsake thee. Who is this he? The one that is in charge of those chariots. That person who sent the chariots of fire has said he will never leave you. Nor forsake you. Look at what he says. So he says, be content with such things as you have. You can hear the security situation in the country is very dire. It's very serious. In fact, now celebrities and government officials, they are hiring private securities. Every estate now has like 3 policemen. You're not in an estate. In fact, your house is on the road. Be content with what you have. For he had said he would never leave you. Private security, army, navy, they are but what? Men. Greater is he that is in you. So it's not just that he will never leave you. The greater one is inside of you. So throughout this week, thank God because you are protected. You are protected. Irrespective of the sudden occurrence, you are protected. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. So we are thanking God for revelation. We are thanking God because we are protected. Praise the Lord. We are thanking God because we know He takes us seriously. He takes us seriously. Now, before we close, let me show you. You look at the Word of God. You look at what the Word of God has said. Praise the Lord. That's where you get revelation. And when you get that revelation, you apply it to your life. Let me show you one last one before we go. Go to Psalm 18, verse 43. It doesn't matter. Listen. When you look at the Word of God, you realize that every possible scenario for accident, God has shown that He's bigger than them all. Every possible, think about it. Some of you, if you see a dog, cute dog, you're running. You don't want the dog to come near you. Why? Because it can bite you. Praise the Lord. So you can run faster than a lion. Praise the Lord. But that's why He told us of Daniel and the lion's den. So even if by mistake you found yourself in a lion's den, He says He has accepted you in the beloved. You are more beloved, if anything, than Daniel, because you are a child of the living God. Someone says, how about fire? What if I'm stuck in a building and there is fire? That's why He told of Shadrach, Meshach, and what? Abednego. He's the one who made the fire. What you're used to is fire burning people. But He showed us that it is possible that the fire doesn't have to burn you. Yes. It wasn't about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's about who was with them in that fire. But then He told us He will never leave us nor forsake us. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. How about an accident, vehicle accident? That's why He told us of Jesus in that boat. There can be an accident, or there might be the tendency for an accident. But as long as you are there, there is protection and there is what? Salvation. How about food poisoning? He says, you shall drink. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not what? Hurt you. So every avenue for any catastrophe or security challenge, the Word of God has sealed it out. So this week, be conscious that protection is yours. Psalm 18, verse 43. Now, I love Daniel so much. He's the one who said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? Are you in this place? We are closing. So if you're feeling like sleeping, shake it off. Satan wants you to lose something now. But you're not going to lose it. Praise the Lord. Verse 43. All right. Don't go there. David was the one who said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And we use that. Do you understand? Yes. Now, I like this one, and I want you to pay attention to it. Remember, I'm saying this week we are thanking God for what? Revelation. So, I want you to see something from the Word of God. Verse 43. David is talking, but it's a revelation for you. He says, thou hast, talking to God, thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. I'll explain what this means. Are you saying that? I want you to get it. Let it soak. He says, thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. That means a hustle. Do you understand? The bustling. And thou hast made me the head of the hidden. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. This is a process. He's saying God delivered him from the strivings and moved him to the head. There's a job application. 1,000 people apply. The first stage, over 1,000. But God has delivered you from the strivings of the people, and He has placed you at the head. Do you understand this? Where you have many people struggling for that thing that you want, there's a revelation for you. God has the ability to take you out of that multitude and give you what you want. It is called favor. Are you in this place? It is called favor. It says, a people whom I have not known shall serve me. Take it this way. When you go for that interview with 1,000 people, do you know the secretary? No, but she'll help you. Because there's a revelation. You are the one that will be delivered from the strivings. Wait, have you ever seen some of these interviews? Federal government jobs, so you have like 10,000 people, 70,000 people are in this place. A multitude, and they are all hustling and struggling. That is not your portion. He says, if you ever find yourself there, there's a promise for you in the world. He will deliver you from those strivings. Are you in this place? And move you straight to the head. And this is not new. Go to Psalm, or 2 Samuel chapter 2. I want to show you the character of God towards his people. It's a revelation of favor. Go to verse 8. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 7. 2 verse 7. Let's read it together. I want to go.
The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up.
Stop. Let's read again. Pay attention. Want to go.
The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich.
Stop. So he can make you rich. Are you in this place? He makes people poor and he makes them what? Rich. He bringeth low and lifted what? So he can lift you up. Verse 8. No, that's wait for me. Thank you. Want to go. He says the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. That means the institutions belong to him. Are you in this place? Whatever institution, it belongs to him. So he can choose and unchoose. Are you in this place? So he's saying he raises the poor from the dust to set him among princes. That's what David said when he says he delivers us from the strivings of the people. Are you in this place? And then makes us the head. He says, he lifted up the beggar. I'm telling you, be conscious of favor. You're going to see it. He lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. Listen, that idea that I'm not good enough, throw it away. Throw it away. Verse 9. He will keep the feet of his saints. And the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. This is a very popular verse. By strength shall no man prevail. But what he's trying to tell you is that it's not by what you know. Are you in this place? It's not about who you know in high places. God can deliver you from the strivings of the people. He can move you from the dust and the dustbin and make you the prince. So it's not about strength. It's not about who you know, who you don't know. The idea you're not good enough. You don't have enough. So and so, throw it away. He says, by strength shall no man prevail. It's not about strength. It's about who is with you. And he says he will never leave you nor forsake you. No struggles this week. Are you in this place? If you're going to sweat, it's going to be because the AC is off or you're walking. Are you in this place? Not sweating for what God has given to you. No. He says, the Lord maketh poor and he maketh rich. That money you want, don't you think he can give it to you? It's yours already. But that's why you're going to thank him for revelation. This week, your consciousness, by strength shall no man prevail. And that doesn't mean, oh, that means you cannot tell what will happen. No, it's for your good. Are you in this place? Whatever happens, it is not because I don't have a car. I don't have to enter Moldwell this week. Why? By strength shall no man prevail. It's not about what you have physically. It is about who is with you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Say, thank you, Father. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Thank you, Father. Because this week, promotion is mine. Protection is mine.
Thank you, Father. Because I'm moving from one level of glory to another in my relationships, in my finances, in everything that concerns me. Go ahead and talk to the Lord and thank Him.